Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
And we put on your robe of righteousness this morning, Lord, as we share with the angels and with the saints around the world, giving you praise and glory this morning. Let us never be too tired. Let us never be too human.
But
empower us by your Holy Spirit, God, which is what we need this morning. And we all said, Amen. Thank you, Ephraim. That was beautiful. That just added the perfect praise. The perfect praise. Praise you, Jesus. And thank you, Jackson.
God is good. Amen. Amen. Grace, you want to come on down? Let's take up an offering. Amen. Not forgetting. Can't forget a blessing, right? Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for this day. We pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to have his way. I thank you, Lord, for each person here, and I pray that you would bless them abundantly, Lord God, as we give into your kingdom. Lord God, where rust and moth will not devour, Lord God, but we're giving eternally. And we just thank you and we praise you for each person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we got to sing happy birthday to a couple birthday girls. Debbie had a birthday this week. Julie had a birthday this week. Julie's birthday is on 9/11. Crazy, huh? Crazy. Debbie, when's your birthday? Is it 9/11. So, ready, everybody? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Julie and Debbie. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They're a blessing. Amen. All right. I pray, Lord God, that you have your way today. This is my sermon right here. That's it. So, without further ado, we'll get started. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Oh, I didn't bookmark it in my Bible. I got highlights, pens in here, highlighters in here. Hebrews. John, Peter, there you go. First Peter. Oh, I did have it bookmarked. See, I had a bookmark with Jackson. With Jackson, reminder to pray for him all the time, amen. Pray for him. We got to pray for our boys, Jackson and Gay, both started football, so God bless them and keep them safe, amen. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We give you praise and honor for this word. I pray that, Lord God, that you would just anoint this word, Lord God. I pray that you would help us, help me. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, to deliver your message to your people. Amen. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings you are being are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced, I missed a whole sentence there, are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the whole world. I'm going to go on to verse 10. The God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be dominion forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is good. We are living in a world that is evil. We saw evil, thought that he was going to prevail this week. He thought he won with the death of Charlie Kirk. But what he started was an awakening of the church. And you've seen it happen throughout the world. People are coming alive and are being awakened by what has happened. You know, it's funny. My co-workers, that a lot of them are here, they know. They all know that it's like, Chris has a breaking point, and I can only go so far, you know, and put up with so much. And I'm very generous and very kind and very patient at work. And I pray, my wife is laughing, but I'll put up with a lot of things and a lot of excuses. But when you come to a certain point, it's like just enough is enough. You know, the nonsense has got to stop. You know, the excuses have got to come to an end. And one of these days, you got to show up to work. You know what I mean? And it's like you can only put up with so much. And I think that's what's happened with this. And this being so visualized, what happened to Charlie Kirk. And it's totally unfortunate. But as my wife reminded me earlier today, and it's a reminder for all of us, is that we need to be praying for the saints. We need to be covering all those people that are out there sharing the gospel. Even though you don't know them, you can still pray, God, cover them and protect those that are sharing the gospel. I failed in that. I failed in that mission on covering and praying for those. And I might fail at some of my decisions at work. You know, but what we do when we fail is we dust off the dust off our feet and we keep going. And we pray that, Lord God, help me learn my lesson. Help me to be doing my duty as a spiritual covering over our congregation, over your fellow co-workers, over your fellow laborers that are in Christ Jesus that are spreading the gospel. Because Charlie's death was so visualized throughout the television, throughout social media. It was right there in front of our faces. But there are many, many multitudes of people dying every day for the Christian values and the Christian faith and sharing their gospels and standing firm and not giving up in the face of death that we don't even see or know. It's happening throughout the world. Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world. Second is Islam. Amen? But that's why we got to be careful and we got to be sober-minded and be alert, because our adversary is prowling around. Especially in these last days. He's not just prowling. He is crouching. He is hiding in the thicket in the bushes to take you down. To take you down and to take you out. That's his goal, is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his mission in life. You know, and he's been doing it for thousands and thousands of years, for over 6,000 years. And he's pretty good at it. But he's roaring. He is raising his head up because, and it's going to be more prevalent. You know, I pray that this world gets better. I pray that it does. But the Bible tells me that it's not. You know, the Word says that, you know, persecution is coming for the believers. It's going to get hard for those who believe. But our faith and our hope and everything that we stand on should not be measured by the world. It should be measured by eternity. Because we have an eternity in glory that the world doesn't know anything about. Doesn't understand. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19 says this. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness in high places. In the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist the evil day. And having prepared everything to take your stand, stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with prayer and request. Stay alert with all perseverance and intercessions for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known the boldness, or with boldness, the mysteries of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. You know, the Bible is a testimony of spiritual warfare that as believers that we go through. And if it was not so, then this chapter in Ephesians 6 wouldn't even be in there. Wouldn't even be in there. If we did not have an adversary to come against us, then Paul would not need to write about the armor of God. But he wrote about the armor of God because we do have an adversary, and his will is to destroy you. And he will try everything in his power to do that. He will try to creep into your house. He will try to creep into your marriage. He creeped into the Garden of Eden when he deceived Adam and Eve with the apple, when he told them that surely you can be like God. Surely the apple is not going to kill you. That's exactly what the devil says to us. Surely it's not going to harm you. Oh, surely it ain't going to hurt you. It's not going to kill you. It's okay to dibble dabble in that a little bit. It's not okay to dibble dabble in anything but to dabble in the Word of God and on His promises. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. And this isn't going to be a long sermon today, but I just pray that it's anointed by God and that it speaks to your heart. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient. Because of these things, therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Listen, for most of us here, a lot of us have walked in darkness in our lives. Until the light of the gospel has opened up our hearts to receive Jesus Christ and our minds to understand the truth. A lot of us in our past have walked in darkness. And let me tell you, there is nothing good in darkness. The only thing darkness or living that lifestyle has done for me is to steal from me, to take from me, and to destroy me. And it's awfully expensive. Because I know I had to pay not just a monetary amount, but I had to pay with time. It took time to change the deeds of darkness that I've done in my life. It took years to get those years back. It took a long time. It harms you. It hurts you. It hurts your spirit man, which is crying out to do good for God. But nothing good comes from darkness. Nothing good comes from walking with evil. Nothing but destruction. It hurts your family. Hurts your children. It hurts yourself. And once you get a taste of God's goodness, who in their right mind wants to go back to the old man or the darkness? Once you taste that God is good and that He's for you and He's not against you, His plan isn't for you to be destroyed. His plan is for you to live a prosperous life and to be in good health. His plan is for you to be with Him in eternity forever. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. That's why He rose Him from the dead miraculously and is now at the right hand of the Father. And guess what He's doing? He is praying for you. How humble is that, that we have a God who is in constant prayer 24/7 for you and for me. And that His heart hurts His heart when He sees us go astray. It hurts His heart when He sees us fall, but He never gives up on us because He says He will never extinguish the slightest bit of light or flicker of ash that's in you, that's in your spirit. He promises that He will not extinguish it, but He's waiting for you to look to Him and to turn to Him. Amen? Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You know, I think of what happened this weekend, and all I can think of is that young man that gave his life up, became a martyr of Christ Jesus that very moment, that day, and all he was doing was trying to speak truth in love to those that were deceived and indoctrinated. And he was trying to get to share the light of Christ in their minds and in their hearts so they can see the truth. And his life was taken from him that day, unfortunately. And he was left behind a wife and two beautiful little kids, a beautiful family, a young family, at the age of 31. But the devil didn't want him. He was affecting young kids in colleges that were being indoctrinated dramatically. It said that after his passing, over 2 point some million have left a certain political party for another political party. I don't know, but this I do know. Hatred, anger, all of that is not of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. All of that is from God. And those are the fruits of the Spirit. And you have to evaluate yourself. What are you listening to? What are you hearing? What are you hearing? Evil is alive, it's out there right now, and it's running wild. It's like I read in 1 Peter chapter 5:11, the devil is like a lion, he's a roaring lion, he's looking for someone to devour. We have to stand our guard against the schemes of the devil. We have to be alert. But first we have to wake up that he's real and that he's out there to kill you and destroy you. Because if you don't wake up to that truth, then you can be tossed to and fro with every wave and wind of doctrine that's out there. If our feet are not rooted, if our feet are not standing on a firm foundation, which is the Bible, which is God, which is Christ Jesus, then we're standing on sinking sand. And not only that, but we're standing on sinking sand, and we're teaching our children that they can, it's okay for them to stand on sinking sand. And it's like a generational spirit or curse, like it's passed down from every generation. I grew up standing on sinking sand. Didn't know the truth. The truth wasn't preached to me. We didn't go to church. I was a heathen. And in the early years of my manhood just proved on how I lived. Until the truth came in to my life and it changed it. That my whole life turned around until Jesus made himself real to me. And it wasn't from the help of a person coming to me and sharing the gospel. It was out of desperation of my own spirit crying out to God because I was so far gone and so far alone and left with nothing, homeless on a park bench in Utah. They all smile because they've heard the story. But it's true. Homeless on a park bench in Utah is not a nice place to be. And God spoke to me three things. I can go to jail for the rest of my life. I can end up dead, or I can go home. And my life turned around that moment, freed me from addiction. It wasn't like he didn't even say to me, I'm going to free you from addiction. He didn't say that. He didn't say, come appear to me as a big glowing light. I mean, not saying he can't, because God is God. He can do what God wants. But he said those three things to me. Over 30-some years ago now. Almost 40 years ago. And my life turned around in an instant. I was set free from addiction. I didn't ask to be set free. He set me free from addiction. I had enough money in my pocket to buy a bus ticket to go from Utah to back home. This is home, New York State. He left me $40 left over. Just enough to get food. The very next day I arrived, planted here, sent me to a place of employment where I met my future wife because God had a plan the whole time. And I didn't know it, but he had a plan for my life just like he has a plan for yours. And it's a plan to do good. Because God sees the heart. I've preached this 1,000 times. God sees your heart. He knows your heart's cry. You might not even know your heart's cry. You might not even know who you are in Christ Jesus yet. But God sees your potential. He knows who you are. He can read your heart. Gave me a beautiful family, turned everything around. Took what the enemy meant for bad and turned it for good. And trust me, it wasn't easy. I had several years that I had to get my life back to being right again. I didn't have a driver's license. Had a suspended license. I had to work. I had to ride a bicycle to work. But I was so excited to be back at work because I haven't worked for over a year because my life was living in a basement producing crystal meth and meeting one man for a year. He would come in, give me the supplies, I would make him the drugs, and he'd send them back out of his way. And they would move me around a little bit, from home to home. Nice, you know, I thought it was a great group of biker guys that I was hanging out with at that time. They showed me all these pictures of all these things that I had. That was all of the devil's plans to trick me, to lie me. Oh, you got this beautiful 1967 Corvette Stingray with a beautiful 427. They even took me into a garage in the middle of the night so I can sit in it. Here, this Harley Davidson is yours. You know what? You own the garage, basically, by what you're doing in drugs, by what we're selling. But it was a lie. All a lie. And at that time, in my young age, I thought it was great. I thought, oh, this is awesome. But then, you know what? One day, I'm sitting in that basement all alone. And I'm looking out, and I'm seeing groups of cars going by. And they're the same group of cars. All I had was a little peephole to look out of the basement. I got bit in that basement by spiders that swelled my feet up so bad that I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. It wasn't a pleasant sight, but the enemy kept me tricked and kept me drugged the whole time. Because not only could I produce the drugs, but I could use as much as I wanted while I was making them. And who knows how many lives I hurt doing that. I've asked God for forgiveness for that many, many times. I don't know how many lives were destroyed because of that production. And thankfully, I don't know. And God, thankfully, has forgiven me for that. But God forgave me of all those things. And He still saw my heart, even though all the evil I was doing, not just to me, but to others. And he still reached out to me. I never thought I would be a pastor behind a pulpit preaching the Word of God. I never thought that I would have a beautiful family, that I would be not just a grandfather of great grandkids that I love dearly. Every one of them is special. Every one of them I'm thankful for. Not only am I a grandfather, but I'm a great-grandfather now. Not only do I have son-in-laws that are great and daughters that are beautiful. God has blessed me abundantly. Beautiful wife, beautiful friends. The forgiveness of God is so great to have on your life. It's like a blanket. The forgiveness of God is like a blanket that covers you. And you know, when I read the Word, when I got hungry for the Word of God, you know what, it came to life to me so much that I read this thing through and through. My first Bible, Julie's sister and brother-in-law gave to me, I read it so much that the binding started to fall out. I lost pages of it, highlighted through the whole thing. And now I don't know how many Bibles I'm on now, but like multitudes of Bibles that I've read through and highlighted. But it comes to life. When I read it, it comes to life to me. God did that for me. I went to Bible school. Thankfully, God did that because I was so hungry for the Word. I struggle now sometimes reading the Word because my eyesight's starting to fail and I can't read anything without these stupid readers. And I use that as an excuse sometimes because I got readers all over the place. But I encourage you that we need to be in the Word of God because it is alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will bring you life. It is the light of the world. It is God's Word. Jesus lived this Bible. Believe that? Jesus was the Bible alive. Alive and walking on this earth. And when He says there's an adversary out there to destroy you, then we need to take heed of that. We need to be aware. But we also need to be aware that God has a plan for us. And it's a good plan. And no matter what we've done in our lives, God can take our sins, and I believe this with all my heart, that He took all my sins and He cast them as far as the east is to the west. That they will never come back. That's how much God's forgiveness is. That's how much God's grace is. And trust me, I've heard preachers preach, senior preachers that I've looked up to say that God's grace is lifting. And I disagree with them. You know, I love them to death. Trust me, I love them. And God has anointed them and blessed them in certain things. But I know that God's grace is still out there working on people's lives. His grace will never be lifted until He comes and He pulls the church out of here. And we're with Him. His grace still covers a multitude of sins. His grace looks past everything I did in my life and looks to the future that I can have with Him. His grace is that forgiveness blanket that covers us. Amen? Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient. Because of these things, therefore, do not become their partners. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness. Instead, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible, for what makes everything visible is light. Therefore, it is said, "Get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Listen, this scripture right here, "For what is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret?" We all have secrets that we keep. We all have secrets in our own lives. I encourage you today, let the light of God enter into those secrets so that they can be exposed. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and tell everybody what you've done in your secret life. You know, don't get me wrong. But what I'm encouraging you to do is don't let the enemy use that as a foothold to hook you and to keep you pulled down. Because he uses that. Those secret compartments in our heart that we don't surrender to God. All we do is leave a door open for him to stay in there and harbor and hide. And trust me, he will hide in there until the opportune time comes for him to be exposed. But give that to God. Give those secrets to God. First thing I did before I married Julie, I told her everything I did. Everything. And it was not pretty, because my life wasn't pretty. I never forget it. We were sitting on the front porch, because you know why? I wanted our marriage to be off on the right foot from the get-go. I didn't want to have a foothold for the devil to come back in there and say, "Oh, you didn't tell her about that, did you? You didn't tell her about that." I told her everything. So that way it would be exposed by the light. Now, she keeps those things in confidentiality, you know, which I'm thankful for. But when you have a spouse that you're going to marry, you don't want the devil to ruin that relationship by not exposing it to the light. And once it's exposed to the light, then you can tell the devil, "No, I gave that to Jesus. You can't use that against me," because he doesn't just come out and speak to you like I'm speaking to you now. He speaks to you in your mind, and he tries to torment your mind. That's why he's the tormentor. He tries to torment in your mind and tries to get you thinking on things that are not holy, that are not godly, and he tells you that you're not worthy. "Oh, I know about that secret sin that you haven't told anybody, or you haven't given that over to God. You're still dabbling in it. Give it to God." That's my advice as a pastor, as a friend. Give those things to God and let God work them out, because he will work them out. And then he will forgive you. No matter how terrible, how secret, how disgusting it is, there is nothing new under the sun that God hasn't seen, heard,
Period.
We're not the only humans that have lived on this earth. Our lives are only 70 years. I'm sure there's people who have done worse things than I've done. Amen? I'm going to close with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy, and I wrote this down because I say this all the time, we do not give up. We do not give up. Therefore, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. Instead, we have renounced secret and shameful things, not acting deceitfully or distorting the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience by an open display of the truth. What does it say? The truth will set you free. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age, which is in small g, which is referring to Satan, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And I believe, and I can see this happening all throughout the news. There are people out there that are just blind to the truth. And they don't want to hear the truth. And actually, they're offended by the truth. And they think the truth is a lie. They're being deceived by the devil. And it's true. But if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Who is the image of God? For we are not proclaiming ourselves but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have these treasures in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal flesh. So then death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, in keeping with what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, it may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen? Our hope is the glory of God, the eternity of Christ Jesus. And I guarantee you, all those that have been martyred for Christ Jesus, the first thing they're going to see is the glory of God in eternity. It says that they are under the throne praying, "Oh Lord, when are you going to revenge us?" Right now, Charlie Kirk is there saying the same thing with the martyrs, with the saints. Under the throne of God. Amen. But he's in eternity forever. And that's our hope. That's why we speak out. That's why we preach the good news. That's why I preach the good news. It's for all of us to come into a relationship with Christ Jesus so that we can spend eternity together. God's will is not one to perish. My will is not one here to perish. Or one that hears the word perishes, but turns. He sees the truth of the light of Christ, the truth of the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. That's what matters. That's what matters most. More than anything this world has to offer. Amen? So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I pray, Father God, for your word. Lord God, anything that's of me that I said, I pray that, Lord God, it would be just cast away. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have covered a multitude of my sins and you've forgiven me. Lord God, and it's been over 30 years, almost 40 years, Lord Jesus, since you've spoken directly to me, Lord God, and that you have, God, changed my life. And you've changed it for your good and for your glory. And I give you all the honor because it's for your goodness, Lord God. And it's your grace, Lord God, that saved me. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. I pray your blessings on your people today. Lord God, I pray that whatever I did speak of, Lord God, that, Lord, that you've spoke through me and you've opened hearts and opened minds that the truth may come in. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.